You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Thursday. Lieutenant Governor Sanguinetti will be with us in just a couple of minutes. Right now, it's time to head to Jamie Bruner and Benjamin F. Edwards. Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
I'm good. The Dow closed down 28 points on Wednesday to 24,726. As expected, Congress completed approval of the tax reform legislation, and the bill is now on President Trump's desk. It is not clear whether the package will be signed by year end. In economic news, existing home sales rose 5.6% during November from the prior month, quite a bit higher than the 7/10 gain expected. Sales were up 3.8% during November compared with the prior year. The median sales price rose 5.8% year over year, and inventories dropped to new lows. European markets were mixed today, with the London FTSE up 0.46% and the DAX in Frankfurt off 1/10. The Nikkei in Tokyo was down 0.11%. The 10-year U.S. Treasury note was up 5/32, yielding 2.482%. Gold futures were down $1.80 at $1,267.70. Crude oil futures were down 18 cents at $57.91 a barrel. The Dow begins at 24,792, a positive 64 points today. ADM at 39.95, Ameren 58.51, Caterpillar 152.50, Norfolk Southern 144 even, PPG 116.78, Tate & Lyle at 37.47, and Mueller Water at 12.60. And I'll continue my theme of Christmas quotes this week with words from Norman Vincent Peale. Christmas waves a magic wand over this world, and behold, everything is softer and more beautiful. This is Jamie Bruner with Benjamin F. Edwards & Company, member FINRA and SIPC.
Thank you, Jamie. As always, we appreciate it. We'll check in with you first thing tomorrow morning. As you might have consumed, and if you haven't, it's available at nowdecatur.com and the Nowdecatur Facebook page. We did a one-hour community conversation on the opioid crisis in this country, in this state, in this community, with law enforcement, with human and health services, with the hospitals and medical community. It is something that is being combated across the entire United States of America, and the Lieutenant Governor is the co-chair of the task force here in Illinois. She joins us this morning, Lieutenant Governor Evelyn Sanguinetti. Thank you for being with us. This is a major problem that seems to be as decimated states in the East and is moving west and is probably only going to get worse. What have you been able to accomplish as the co-chair of this statewide task force?
Right. Good morning, Brian. First of all, I'd like to also thank you for moderating the community conversation on opioids earlier this month in Decatur. I caught a glimpse of it, and I'm just so glad that you've kept that conversation going because it's very important. As far as what the governor's office has done with this epidemic, simply put, we all know that this epidemic knows no color, no class, no neighborhood. It's an equal opportunity aggressor. We've been battling this since over a year ago, noting that we'd be coming up with a plan. We compared ourselves to other states, got some stakeholders together, and then in September, as all of you heard, the governor signed an executive order calling for a task force. And that evening on September 6th, we also unveiled our opioid overdose prevention and intervention plan. So we hit the ground running. We've been able to see some positive changes so that we could be ahead of this epidemic rather than being reactive to it. We now have a helpline, and we've seen that this is an excellent tool, especially in those communities where services are lacking or where the issue is still very stigmatized and people don't want to talk about it. This helpline, the number is 1-833-2-FIND-HELP. And you could call that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for assistance. We also now have, thanks to our task force and our plan, we now have a standing order for naloxone. So for those of you who don't know what naloxone is. It's actually the resuscitator. Those who are experiencing an overdose and will die could now be helped with naloxone, and it'll bring you back to life. Before, we needed a prescription for that, but thanks to Dr. Nirav Shah, who's the co-chair of this task force, we have a standing order where you don't need a prescription anymore. So right away, I got naloxone trained, and I hope all of you, Brian, get naloxone trained so that we could be first responders and assist. And also, too, we have a new law requiring our doctors to use a prescription monitoring program. In times past, it was not mandatory, and so it was very difficult to track those individuals who were doctor shopping and getting too many opioids and thereby becoming addicted over time. So now it's compulsory, and we could track this better. We'll see more changes coming along with time, but, you know, this is positive in that we're ahead of this epidemic.
The fronts are so many, you know, where this has to happen. I mean, from the federal government and how they reimburse hospitals based on a pain-free experience and patient surveys, to the fentanyl that's coming from China, to the poppies that are being grown in Mexico because we've legalized marijuana in the United States and so many states, and so they've changed their strategies. Experts I know in law enforcement say that the crime syndicates in Mexico, and that Mexico it right now is the second most dangerous place in the world outside of Afghanistan and Syria, that they will pump more drugs into communities based on the communities not having the resources or the treatment centers. That's how sophisticated this is.
Right. No, they've gotten very sophisticated. What we found now is that the substance being used to lace opioids and lace heroin is a synthetic drug. It's called fentanyl and carfentanil, and it's making it into our borders. We're finding that it's making it mostly through China. And they've become incredibly creative in making sure that it gets into our households through the mail system. We just took a tour with the U.S. Customs Postal Service, and they were showing us the way these synthetics were making it in. And it's very dangerous because our first responders, our police officers, for instance, that go to help out somebody that's experiencing an overdose, if they should come into contact with these synthetics, they could die immediately. So this is a very big concern, and you're so right, Brian. The fronts are so many. Children are finding opioids in the medicine cabinets of their parents because parents fail to clean it out over time. They are finding it because they had simple oral surgery, and they've been overprescribed opiates, and they become addicted. So it's making it into our homes through very, very different avenues.
All right. What about holding the pharmaceutical companies responsible? We're with Lieutenant Governor Evelyn Sanguinetti. You know, they flat out lied to Congress in the 1990s. Several of these folks have been caught, you know, illegally, you know, bribing, you know, doctors, you know, to sell these drugs. I mean, do we get to a case where this is like big tobacco and we have to sue these companies to help pay for the recovery, which is going to take years and billions of dollars?
Well, some states have taken that approach. I believe that right now with the initial step that we've taken to make the prescription monitoring program mandatory, we've started attacking. But again, I mean, states are taking different avenues to attack this problem. And overprescribing is being attacked in the state of Illinois by having the mandatory prescription monitoring program.
Right, but it's a basic...
I believe right now, you remember, we were in Decatur just last month, Brian, and one of the members that testified at our field hearing was one of the same ones that was actually at the community conversation indicator a few weeks back, and it was Dr. John Furry, and he was indicated that there has been a crackdown, and it's been very palpable. We're seeing it already.
Yeah, but Lieutenant Governor
indicated that he's one of only three doctors in the region that could actually administer Suboxone.
Yeah, I understand we're making progress, but I still think we lack basic education because I was at that very hospital for minor surgery and was giving an opioid. What they don't tell you, and I'm not blaming the hospital, they're doing everything they can, but what people don't realize, I don't think, is the true nature of addiction, that if you have the right DNA and the right personality and the right makeup, you can become addicted to opioids in 3 days. And I don't think most people who, you know, get a prescription because they had knee surgery realize that a year from now, now they could be a heroin addict.
Right, right. And education is the key, and this is why it's so important to keep the conversation going, because we need to look at this for what it is. This is a disease, and science is telling us it's a disease, this addiction. And there's light at the end of the tunnel. People could reach the recovery phase. It's a long, a lifetime phase to be in recovery, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. But this all starts with education and making sure that people are talking about it and ultimately face it for what it is. It's a disease, and we need to treat it as such.
All right. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Thank you for being with us today.
Merry Christmas to you, Brian.
All right. Lieutenant Governor Evelyn Sanguinetti with the Opioid Task Force. I think that you got to be careful. She's a very nice lady, and she's been to the food drive, and we've met on several occasions. I don't think we're making a lot of progress.
It doesn't seem like it, or it doesn't appear to be so.
And in fairness to the task force, it's a huge problem. You're not going to solve it overnight. You have to take steps. But I think there's a fundamental